Well, if you would, take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Luke this morning to begin. I mentioned last week that over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at some things that Jesus Christ taught at the Last Supper. And this morning, we're going to look at Jesus teaching them about service and love. And in Luke chapter 22, this took place at what we refer to as the Last Supper. And Jesus Christ had just talked about, well, in verse 21, "Behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." They began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And then verse 24, "And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." People are people. Ego is ego sometimes, right? I mean, there they are at the Last Supper, and he's just told them about the betrayer, and it's like, who do you think's the greatest here? And he said unto them in verse 25, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat, or he that serveth?" You know, you got somebody sitting at meat and somebody serving him. Well, who do you think's the greatest? Well, is not he that sitteth at meat? Well, sure. But I am among you as he that serves. So at the Last Supper, Jesus Christ was trying to teach them about service. It's not the first time that this came up. Look at Matthew 23. This is not from the Last Supper, but Matthew 23, this came up. Matthew 23. And in verse 1. "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and their enlarge the borders of their garments. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi." Oh, they love that. "Hey, rabbi." "Oh, yes, I'm a rabbi. I'm so spiritual." But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, one is your rabbi, even Christ. And all ye are brethren, you're all brethren. And call no man father, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father who is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whatsoever and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." See, we're here to serve one another, not figure out who the greatest is. And even though he taught them this before, it was still one of the things that he brought up at the Last Supper, which is noteworthy. So we go to John chapter 13 now, back to the Last Supper. There is much scripture about the Last Supper in the Gospel of John, more than anywhere else. And we ought to also remember that everything that happened at the Last Supper is not recorded in Scripture. But what God wanted recorded in Scripture, we can read about. In John chapter 13, verse 4, He, Jesus Christ, riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Right in the middle of supper here. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, for us not living in Bible culture, we might go, wow, that's pretty strange. But understanding Bible culture really helps us to understand God's word. In Bible times, showing hospitality was considered very, very important to them. They saw it as extending the blessing of God to other people, and God would bless them back. And when a guest came into your home in Bible times, their feet would be washed. You know, they wore sandals. It was dusty roads. It wasn't like they had stinky feet or something. This was a way of showing respect. It was just normal. It's like, you know, when it's July and somebody comes to your house, almost the first thing you do, you go, you want some water? We'll get some tea, some lemonade. That's our custom, our culture. But in Bible times, the feet of a guest would always be washed, and that job almost always went to a lowly servant because it was kind of a menial job. You know, it wasn't like putting a fancy robe on somebody, or it was like washing his feet. And so normally a lowly servant would wash the feet. In some cases, to show great honor, a son of the family would wash the feet. Or sometimes to show really great respect, the master of the house would wash the feet. But that was a very common custom of washing feet by a lowly servant. They also, when a guest would come in, they would anoint the head with oil or some other aromatic mixture, and they would give the guest a kiss when they came in. So understanding that when we read this helps us to see what Jesus Christ was doing, and he's definitely going to explain himself as well. So back to verse 4 again. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments. We're in chapter 13, verse 4. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, and after he had poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? I mean, obviously, Peter is very familiar with the culture he lives in. A lowly servant washing my feet, not you. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, You shall never wash my feet. I am not going to allow this. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said, Okay. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Do you know what I just did? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you, what does it say? An example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither is he that is sent, which would be Jesus Christ, greater than he that sent him, which would be God. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So, should we wash each other's feet? You know, we could stop right now and we'll just wash each other's feet because Jesus Christ said we should. No. That was their culture. And he was giving them an example of serving one another, that we serve one another. We love and serve one another, regardless of the task. He also talked to them that night about love. And we're in chapter 13, so go over to verse 34. A new commandment, John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35. By this shall all know you are my disciples if you have love one to another. To love one another. And it comes up again in chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He just told them that a little bit before, right? Now he's telling them again. Must be important. Verse 12 again of chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. Wow. Kind of made a point of it, didn't he? At this very critical time, both for Jesus Christ and for his disciples, he's teaching them about love and service. So let's look now at the book of Romans, chapter 12. Because the church epistles, the seven church epistles, are addressed to who? The church, the born-again believers, the body of Christ, with Christ being the head. This is our instructions, and we see how love and service is echoed in the seven church epistles, what Jesus Christ taught at the Last Supper. You find it throughout. Now, if we were going to look at every verse about love and service in the church epistles, we'd be here all day. So we'll just look at a few things, because I think it's just noteworthy that Jesus Christ taught about love and service at the Last Supper. So Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not going to help God if you die. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, to serve. And don't be conformed to this world, or don't let the world fashion you with its ideologies and this and that. Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, by every woman, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man, every woman, the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, the same function, the same way of serving each other in the body. We don't have the same talents, abilities, callings, gifts, whatever. We don't all have the same thing. It's a body with different ways of service, and that's what he's going to talk about. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, well, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, well, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Just do whatever it is you do best. Just serve. And then verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Let the love be without dissimulation. That dissimulation means not pretended. Let the love that you have be genuine love, not hypocritical or pretended love. Look at verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. We're to love one another. The love we have for the family of God, for the born-again believers, that we prefer one another. In chapter 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Down in verse 10, it says, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, Love is the fulfilling of the law. Then if you're familiar with chapters 14 and 15, it talks about not judging your brothers and sisters. You know, we're to serve with love. Now, we understand the seven church epistles, that Romans is doctrine. The Romans section is doctrine, reproof, correction. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, right? That's the way God set it up. So this was doctrine. So now let's go to Corinthians and see a little reproof on love and serving. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, where he's talking about it's one body and every member in that body is important. Every member is not to be excluded. No member is better than another. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. You know, we're all important. And verse 20 says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. It's one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, verse 22, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Isn't that beautiful? You know, it's kind of a reproof from what he said in Romans, preferring one another. Look, have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. You know, somebody has a problem or something happens, we don't go, well, too bad. Probably deserved it anyway. No, one member suffers, we all suffer. And then, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, sometimes a believer has something really great happens to him and people are like, why was he? Rejoice. Now, verse 27, you're the body of Christ and members in particular. So there's some reproof there. Also, we could look at chapter 16. Just picked out a few. Chapter 16, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all your things be done with charity. That's love. That's agape love, the love of God. I beseech you, brethren, to know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helps with us and labors. I'm glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Well, there's a little bit of reproof about we're all supposed to be serving, do what we do best. It's a little reproof there, right? For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Also, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, we read that section pretty fast in Romans. You know, get busy doing whatever it is that you do in service. Obviously, God isn't going to list every single thing possible that is service, but you know, sometimes people overlook prayer. Is praying service to people? Sure it is. And you know, I think about Job in the situation that he was in, boils from the top of his head to his toes, absolute miserable. You know, he said the night was so long and then you get up. He was just totally physically wiped out, let alone mentally, because he lost all his children and all his possessions. And his wife was no help. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? Thanks, honey. Love the encouragement. And so it's so amazing in that record because his supposed friends came and all they want to do is lay condemnation on him. He called them miserable comforters. And God said, pray for them. Pray for them. You would have thought God would have gotten those miserable comforters and said, look, why don't you stop laying condemnation and pray for the man? But God told Job to pray for those miserable comforters. And as you know in the record, God healed him. But the point I'm making is, that's all the service Job could do for anybody at that time, was pray. So there's always a way of serving. You know, sometimes you get older, you can't do quite as much as you did before, and sometimes things come up and you do. We can always pray for people, and that's great service. So anyway, back to 2 Corinthians 6. A little more reproof. Verse 6, it says, 6:6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love, unfeigned. That's the same word we saw in Romans chapter 12 when we were looking at that. Love unfeigned, meaning not pretended, but genuine, genuine love. We don't fake it. We genuinely love one another. As Jesus Christ said at least 3 times, love one another, love one another. Why do you say it so many times? Because he knows we're people. So that was reproof. Let's look at a little correction in Galatians chapter 5. Romans the doctrine, Corinthians the reproof, Galatians the correction to get back to that right believing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but, what does it say? By love serve one another. By love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. There must have been some biting and devouring going on. Must have been, look, get back to love and serve one another. Love and serve. The Ephesians section, doctrine, reproof, correction, you have Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things who is the head, Christ. Now look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Every joint is important. Every member in the body of Christ is important. Every born-again believer has something to offer to serve with love. Every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We build each other up by love. Isn't that a beautiful verse? I love that verse 16. It's just beautiful. And this is the doctrine side. So, little reproof in Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Philippians 2:25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. I need to send this guy to you. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness. Epaphroditus was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. He felt heavy that you knew that he was sick. Well, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Whew, there's a little reproof, huh? See, we all have something to contribute. We all have something to serve in some way, even if it's just prayer. Love and serve. And we go to the correction in Colossians chapter 3, or I should say some correction. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Colossians 3, 9. Lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, Christ is all and in all. Doesn't matter, you're male, female, where you come from, we're all one body. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearing one another. Oh, that'd take a little love, wouldn't it? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You know, back in Ephesians, it says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, forgive one another. Forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on the love of God, charity. Put on the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It's a little correction, getting them back to serving with love. And in chapter 4, look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you. Want me to say hi to you? Salutes you. That's how we would say it. They wanted to say hi to you. Salutes you. Always laboring fervent for you in what?
Prayers.
In prayers. This Epaphras was a praying guy. Laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Prayer is such great service, isn't it? There's no reproof or correction for Thessalonians, so we'll just look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord, we're in 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in what? Love one toward another and toward all, even as we do toward you. Love abound. Chapter 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, that's the phileo love, as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Well, that sure comes up a lot, doesn't it? Maybe we need to be reminded, reproved, and corrected to just love one another. And our service is out of love one for another. In the epistle of 1 Peter, chapter 1, Hebrews, James, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know, Peter was there when Jesus Christ said more than one time, love one another. A new commandment I give you, love one another. Love one another. He was there. And here he is writing. And that unfeigned is the same word that we saw in Romans and in Corinthians. Unpretended, genuine love. Love with a pure heart fervently. And that takes effort. That takes renewing our minds to what God says to do. So before we close, let's look at a couple in the epistle of 1 John, if you would. 1 John, there's a lot of love in 1 John. You need some love, go read 1 John. There's lots of love in 1 John. We'll just look at a couple. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And we need to go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he that loveth God, love his brother also. Love, love, love. Let's close in Galatians chapter 5. We just read this a little bit ago, but it puts the love and service together. Two of the things that Jesus Christ talked about at the Last Supper, and I think the things that he talked about that are recorded are noteworthy. God had them in there for a reason. And Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We're to love one another and to serve one another the best we can. And there are definitely times where God will work in you and show you how to serve. It's like that song, I can't remember the name of it or how it goes, but it basically is, Lord, what can I do for you today? Lord, is there someone you would like me to? Good morning, Lord. Thank you. That's the one. Good morning, Lord. But, you know, to ask God, is there someone I can bless? Is there someone you'd like me to pray for? Is there something? Why? Because we love the body of Christ, and we are here to love and serve. And every one of us is a very important part, a member in particular. So as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we love and serve one another. Father, thank you for the great love you have for us, the great love you have for the entire world, that you so loved that you gave your only begotten Son, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that because of him giving his life, we have salvation freely by your grace, not of works. We have eternal life. We have forgiveness of sins and so many other things. Thank you that we belong to the greatest organization ever, the body of Christ. And Father, may we just continue to do our best to walk according to your word and love and serve one another. And thank you, Father, for your wonderful word that helps us, that gives us direction, that tells us what's right to believe, that reproves us when we're not believing rightly, and corrects us and gets us back to believing rightly. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning. Pray, Father, that you would bless everyone here in the house as well as those on the hookup. And I pray we can have a wonderful week ahead, loving you, believing you, and walking in the love of God and service to one another. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.